This morning, Roseanne and I was talking. We was discussing about the human body, getting a little older, and I think she had mentioned that Robin had to kind of discuss a little bit about getting a little older in the class. And I, if I remember, one day last week, either last Wednesday night or last Sunday evening, I was talking with Steve. We was talking about the human body and how amazing it is. If you remember, the psalmist says in Psalms 134, verse number 14, he speaks of the human body as being amazing. He speaks of it as being marvelous and wonderful works of God. When I stop and I think of the human body, we have the ability to taste. Human body has ability to hear and to feel, to smell, and all of the other senses. Amazing. I guess if I had to lose one of them, I don't know which one. I know one which I don't want to lose is the ability to see. To me, it would be a very horrible thing to not be able to see. I remember when I first became a Christian many years ago, living in Troy, Alabama. I just started off school down there, and there was a lady there in the congregation, an older lady, and she had been blind. I don't know how long she had been blind. I got to meet her, and she was nice and sweet as she could be. And once she invited myself and a friend of mine who I shared the gospel with over to eat. And I'm thinking to myself, well, who's going to cook the meal? And then after I realized she was going to do the cooking, Miss Gussie White, oh, could she cook? She cooked a very good meal. Being blind, she felt her way around in her kitchen and cooked an excellent meal for us. Losing our sight to see, our ability to see, would be horrible. But in a spiritual sense, when you stop and you think about sin, when we choose to sin, when one chooses to live in a world of sin, live by the laws of sin, and just live a sinful life, that person walks in darkness, blind to the real truth. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 13, there's a comparison there. He talks about being translated or delivered. Starting Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Idea there is pain, is leaving one kingdom of darkness, leaving the world of darkness, being in the kingdom of light, kingdom of Jesus. How to see clearly, spiritually. And that's what each and every one of us want to do. We want to be able to see and live our lives spiritually and see clearly. If you remember a while back, I talked about hearing. Hearing is, as I said, one of our senses. So this evening, we'll dwell a little bit on seeing. And next month, we'll dwell on the sense of taste, the spiritual application. So this evening, how to see clearly, spiritually. We all want to be able to live right spiritually. We all want to be able to be pleasing to God and have the right relationship and know what to do and how to do the things right. And know what is right, know what is wrong, and do that which is right, and do that which is wrong. How to see clearly. From a spiritual standpoint, if we're going to be able to see clearly spiritually, one of the things that helps us along the way is simply acknowledging our wrongs, acknowledging when we sin. I have learned along the way from my personal experiences that it is so easy to blame someone else. It is so easy not to take the blame and try to push it to someone else. Someone else caused me to do this. I didn't do it, really. If you remember in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve had sinned, when God confronted Adam, in Genesis chapter 3, start verse number 12 now through 13, Adam replies to God by saying, "That woman you gave me caused him to eat of the fruit." Then when God confronts Eve, Eve said, "The serpent deceived me." Seems as though both are trying to shift the responsibility and not stop and acknowledge, "Yes, I've done this. I've done what is wrong. I've sinned. If I am to see clearly spiritually and do the things that are right, I myself must stop when I sin and acknowledge I have sinned. And I'll take full responsibility." This morning, Robin read a quote from Romans 3:23. "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." From time to time, we all do sin. From time to time, we need to stop and acknowledge it as sin. Confess, acknowledge it, confess it, and move forward with it. There's an excellent example from the Old Testament, Psalm 51. Now listen to the words of the psalmist. Psalm 51, sorry, verse number 1. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your love kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." The psalmist turns to the mercies and the tender love, the love kindness of God, but not only that, he comes to the point where he says, "You know, I acknowledge my transgression, my sin. I've sinned against you, God." He doesn't look for excuses here. Don't look for a reason to try to shift it to someone else. If I am to live my life and see things clearly as I live a spiritual life, I need to stop at time and just say, "Hey, I've sinned. Repent of it unto the Father and press on." How can I see clearly spiritually? By acknowledging my wrongs. You remember last week, some people may say, "Oh, long, long time." Remember last week, you remember the message I taught last week? Do you even remember the title? In Matthew chapter 3, remember John the Baptist? Sorry, verse number 1 going down to verse number 7. John came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. All the people came out to the Jordan River, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Do you remember that? They came out, admitted their sin, they were baptized, they moved on. They were preparing themselves for the coming of the kingdom. They were preparing themselves so they could see things clearly spiritually. For you and for me, we live this Christian life and always see things clearly. We must at times just acknowledge that I take full responsibility for my wrongs. First John chapter 7. First John chapter 1. First John chapter 1. First John chapter 1. Start at verse number 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. He pictures a Christian life as a life of walking in light, having fellowship with the Father and with the Son. So what's the opposite of it? Walking in darkness. Then he goes on and says in verse number 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If one is willing to stop when he sins and confess his sins, acknowledge his sins, admit his sins, God is willing to forgive us and we move on. How to see clearly spiritually? Being willing to acknowledge our sins and not let them stay in our lives, not let them block us from seeing the pathway clearly. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. The wise proverb writer says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 13, says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but he who ever confess and forsake them will have mercy. The concept there of covering up and hiding, and the other concept of it is confessing your sins, acknowledging them, admitting them, and pressing onward. How can I see clearly? Spiritually, I can see clearly spiritually and enjoy the proper perspective on the Christian life. It's when I do sin, not to try to cover it up and hide it, but to acknowledge it, pin up and move forward. Remember in Luke chapter 15, prodigal son took everything he had, left without living sinful. In Luke chapter 15, start verse number 15 through 19, the prodigal son seemed to be coming to his senses. He's starting to see things in the right perspective. He turns around, he goes back, and he confessed to his father he sinned against his father in heaven and earth. He began to admit the things or acknowledge the things that he had done, and he began to see things clearly. And with you and I, as we live the Christian life, we can see things clearly spiritually. When we come to the point where there may be sin in our lives, that we acknowledge it, pin up and press forward. How to see clearly? Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Seeing clearly this spiritual life. Another thing that helps us in seeing and walking this path clearly is closely related to the first one is just simply turning away from our sins. Simply turning away from the things that are sinful. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 9, listen to what Paul says to the church at Rome. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. The things that are evil, Paul said, abhor them, rather hate them, but the things that are good, cling to them, bond to them, grip on to them, hold on to them. But those things which are evil, bad, sinful, says abhor them, hate them. If I'm going to live the Christian life properly, right in the eyes of God, and see clearly spiritually, I have to learn from Scripture, to cling to that was right, and turn away from the things that are sinful. And if we all would admit, sometimes that's not always easy. In Psalms 34 and 14, Psalm 37, 27, basically says the same thing. Departing from things that are evil and doing that which is good. Separating ourselves from the things that are evil. Turning away from them. See, when I make up my mind, when you make up your mind to turn from things that are sinful, then now we're on the pathway and things are clear. And living a spiritual life. Isaiah. Book of Isaiah. Chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, start verse 16. Isaiah began to instruct the people, a call to repentance. He says, start verse number 16, wash yourselves, make yourself clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do good, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressors, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. The word of God instructs God's people who have got all tied up and tangled up and idol worship and every other type of sin you could have thought of, who have drifted away from God. God says, put away from you the evil works or evil doings. If they were to see clearly how to live the life that would be spiritually right in God's eyes, they was going to have to put away some things, get away from the things that were sinful. Now look there in verse number 17 where it says, learn to do good. Learn to do good. They were instructed to learn to do good. And God made possible the information for them to be able to learn to do good. If they failed to learn to do good, to do what was right, because they chose not to do what was right. Bottom part of verse number 16, cease to do evil. They're instructed to cease to do evil. So these things that was hindering them from seeing spiritually how to live right in the eyes of God, with that they were doing things that was wrong, they need to stop that, they were to cease from doing evil, they were to go back to the book and learn to do what good. What great instruction for you and I. If there's things in our life we cease, we stop doing them, we go back to the book to learn to do good. And by doing so, now we can see clearly how to walk the path, clearly how to live, clearly how to serve God. But fail to learn to do good according to the scriptures, I'm going to be lost. Simple as that. Seeing clearly, spiritually, what will help is separating or turning ourselves away from things that are sinful. Remember Acts chapter 2, that great glorious day, day of Pentecost, where that great message was delivered. Thousands of people were there. More than 1,000 people heard and obeyed the gospel. Peter told the people to repent, to change, to turn away from their sins and be baptized for the remission, or rather for the forgiveness of their sins. They were taught in that message by Peter to turn from their sinful ways, and by doing so, then they could now live that Christian life in the beginning of the kingdom that Jesus had promised in Matthew chapter 16, that they could live that life spiritually, walking in the light. By turning away from their sins. It is the same with you and I. Is that when we turn from things that are sinful in our lives, then we can see clearly and live in this life. For sin kind of make things a little darker. In Psalms 119, verse 11, the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in thy heart, that I might not sin against thee." The psalmist says he's taken the word of God, placed it in his heart, that he might not sin against God. His desire was to take God's word, place it in his heart, and trust in them so he would not sin. Here's the heart and the desires of a man who had done his best and was trying and striving to stay away from sin and to live for God. And he was going to trust and rely upon the word of God to strengthen him. Lamentation, chapter 3, verse number 40. The writer says to children of Israel, says, "Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord." What a great passage. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. If I am to see clearly spiritually and living this Christian life, from time to time I need to stop and search out and examine my ways. And if there is something wrong with it, I need to cease from it, repent of it, so I can press forward. Thirdly and last is really a gathering of point one and point two, is simply as we want to see clearly spiritually, we need to make sure that we seek God's forgiveness. That we seek God's forgiveness in prayer. If you remember in Luke chapter 11, sorry, verse number 1, you find Jesus praying. And then the disciples comes to Jesus and tells Jesus that you know that they've seen John's disciple pray, and that they want to learn to pray like John's disciple. And Jesus began to teach them how to pray. Right about verse number 4, he teaches them about forgiveness, about going to the Father asking for forgiveness, and also being willing to forgive others. If I'm to live this Christian life and see things very clearly, I must be willing from time to time in my prayer life go before the Father and ask God, please forgive me of the sin that I've committed. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. He talks about forgiveness at the very ending of the verse. He says, "Remember how God has forgiven us in Christ." Going back to 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, what we read earlier about confessing our sins to the Father, who's faithful to forgive us. I cannot live this Christian life clearly. I cannot live this Christian life spiritually if there's sins in my life and I just refuse to repent of them and just going to hold on to them. I need to stop and seek forgiveness from the Father. And Daniel, most people remember Daniel as a great man who was in the lion's den. We also remember Daniel as his steadfastness. You know, he was willing to continue to do what was right regardless of what the rest of the people down there around him. But in Daniel chapter 9, there's one of the most honest, heartfelt prayers recorded there from Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9, when you read, Daniel began to pray unto the Father of all the things that happened. He keeps saying, we have rebelled, we have done this, we have done that. But down at verse number 19, he turns to God for God's forgiveness. I want to do my very best to live this Christian life. I want to be able to see things clearly. One thing that I have to do is that when I do sin, seek God's forgiveness, go to the Father in prayer and ask for forgiveness and press forward, seeing clearly. We all, it should be our desire to live this Christian life, seeing things clearly, not to walk in darkness, not to be stumbling and falling and tripping over things spiritually, but trusting in God's word and moving forward. As we close, as a Christian, have you been seeing things very clearly, spiritually, all going well? And that's good. You are encouraged to continue that path. But as a Christian, from time to time, we get all messed up and tangled up. And sometimes we begin to walk in darkness and sin, blinding us to the things that are right. And we do sin. And if so, that's not the end. Let's stop. Let's repent and press forward and move on. Not being a Christian, I can honestly say that if you continue the path in which you're traveling, you're walking in darkness. You may think you see where you're going. You may think you know where you're going, but there's a way in which Satan is deceiving you. You can see and you can do the things that are right and the things that are pleasing in the sight of God. It all starts out by simply making up your mind that you want to do what's right. You want to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that you must be willing to obey the gospel by hearing the word of God, by believing in it, by repenting and by confessing, and last of all, being baptized, having your sins washed away. 1 Peter 3:21. Good conscience towards God. Not the removing of the filth from the body. And from that point on, rising up, trusting and holding on to the word of God, striving to see things clearly spiritually, digging in the word of God, understanding what God has commanded you to do. But until that point, if you refuse to do those things, refuse to obey the gospel, you're walking in darkness. If you die in darkness, you shall lose your soul. And that's the way it is. So you stopping. You thinking. Make the right decision. Not based upon feelings, not based upon speculation, but based upon revelation, that which has been revealed in the Word of God. Let's sing.